From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming voanews.id.
Hello VOA listener, how are you today? It is nice to meet you again with me, Rahma, who will accompany you in 60 minutes ahead. In today's edition, we present some information starting from news, diplomatic corner, and so forth. We will also play some songs. Now let's begin with news, so stay with us only on voanews.id, RRI Play Go mobile app, and shortwave frequency 3325 or 4750 kHz.
Here is the news first, the headlines. President Joko Widodo urged all parties to oppose hoaxes in Indonesia's election. Indonesia sends assistance to support Vanuatu's airport rehabilitation. I'm Nuga Kusumawati, now the news in details. Let's begin with the national news, where Indonesian President Joko Widodo has called on all parties to fight against the practices of making and spreading defamatory statements and hoaxes ahead of and during the campaign period of Indonesia's 2024 general elections. At the central leadership inauguration of Pagar Nusa in Surabaya, East Java on Sunday, he pointed out that differences in voting choices in the elections are normal, so that the nation should not get disunited just because of the different choices. President Joko Widodo emphasized that the upcoming election are an arena for contestations of offer ideas, innovations and solution as capital to make leaps of progress. Indonesia's Ministry of Foreign Affairs stated on Sunday that the government is supporting Vanuatu's post-disaster recovery by sending 20 tons of building materials for the rehabilitation of the Buffalofield International Airport in Port Vila. The assistance delivery is aimed at assisting Vanuatu's recovery efforts in areas severely affected by Cyclones Judy and Kevin in early March. According to the ministry, the assistance sent by National Disaster Mitigation Agency BNPB and the Ministry of Public Works and Public Housing had been transported on early Sunday via the Soekarno-Hatta International Airport near Jakarta and was expected to arrive in Port Vila on the same day. The ministry also said the aid package for the airport's rehabilitation project revealed Indonesia's people solidarity with the people of Vanuatu. The rehabilitation project was started on August 22nd, marked by a groundbreaking ceremony attended by Indonesian Deputy Minister of Foreign Affairs Pahala Nugraha Mansuri and Vanuatu Minister of Foreign Affairs Matai Seremayah Nawalu. Indonesia's Ministry of Trade disclosed on Sunday that the 2024 Jakarta Muslim Fashion Week, or GMFW, held at the Indonesia Convention Exhibition BSD Tangerang Regency Banten on October 19 to 21st, recorded transactions worth $20.1 billion. The ministry's Director General of National Export Development, Didi Sumedi, stated in a press release that the total value of the 2024 GMFW's transaction showed an increase compared to that of the previous edition, which was recorded at $13.2 million. Those transactions were recorded from domestic and overseas buyers, including those from the United States, South Korea, the United Arab Emirates, Malaysia, Somalia, and South Africa. He further said that it signified the trust of international buyers in the excellence of Indonesian modest fashion products. Indonesia's Meteorology, Climatology and Geophysics Agency, BMKG, has warned countries about the real threat of climate change during the International Workshops on Climate Variability and Climate Services in Bali on October 16 to 19. Head of BMKG, Dwi Korita Karnawati, said that the current condition of the Earth is not good, posing a threat to all living things on the planet. She also remarked that, as quoted by Antara in a statement on Sunday, all countries have experienced at least one or even multiple hydrometeorological disasters. Hence, she encouraged all countries to collaborate to address environmental issues. In her briefing at the event, Karnawati also highlighted the importance of the relationship between science, policy, and climate services, especially in understanding the impact of climate change and climate variability and their effects on human life, which also has an impact on the safety of human civilization. Let's move on to the international news, where the Philippines repeated its call for China to stop provocative action, warning that its attempt to block Manila's resupply missions to a disputed atoll in the South China Sea could have disastrous results. Jonathan Malaya, spokesperson at the Philippines National Security Council NSC, said in a news conference on Monday that China's move to interfere with the resupply missions on Sunday resulted in damage to one of Manila's boats, but that no one was harmed. In the incident early Sunday, China's Coast Guard said there had been a slight collision between one of its ships and the Philippines boat while the Coast Guard was lawfully blocking the boat from transporting illegal construction materials to the warship. The ship was resupplying the BRP Sierra Madre, a former warship grounded on the Second Thomas Shoal, located in the Philippines Exclusive Economic Zone and used as a Philippines Marine Base. Israel bombarded Gaza with airstrikes early Monday, and its aircraft struck southern Lebanon overnight as Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu convened a meeting of his top generals and his war cabinet to assess the escalating conflict. Israel's attacks concentrated on the Gaza Strip center and north, Palestinian media reported, as quoted by Reuters. A strike on a house near the Jabalia refugee camp in northern Gaza killed several Palestinians and wounded others, according to media reports. Health authorities in Gaza said at least 4,600 people were killed in Israel's two-week bombardment that began after a Hamas October 7 rampage on southern Israeli communities, in which 1,400 people were killed and 212 were taken into Gaza as hostage. A funeral was held on Sunday for the president of an American synagogue who was killed over the weekend as police searched for a motive. Samantha Wooler, 40 years old, an advisor to Democratic Party politicians and president of Isaac Agree Downtown Synagogue, was found stabbed to death outside her home in the Lafayette Park neighborhood of Detroit, Michigan, on Saturday, and sparked an outpouring of grief in Jewish and Democratic circles. On Sunday afternoon, Detroit Police Chief James E. White said in a statement that no evidence has surfaced suggesting that this crime was motivated by anti-Semitism. Police were investigating with the FBI, but the statement did not say whether a suspect had been identified. In an obituary published on the website of the Hebrew Memorial Chapel, where the funeral was held, Wall was remembered as a patron of theater, opera, and music, and a keen hiker of mountain trails. U.S. Representative Elisa Slotkin, on whose election campaign Wall worked, said in a statement she dedicated her short life to building understanding across faith, bringing light in the face of darkness. Michigan Attorney General Dana Nessel remembered Wool as being driven by her sincere love of her community, state, and country. Well, listener, now let's move on to commentary for today.
Here is today's commentary on the Netherlands holds a grand exhibition with an Indonesian theme. I'm Dalat Pane. The Indonesian theme exhibition, the largest in the last few decades, is being held at the New Kerk or New Church, a former magnificent church building in the heart of the capital, Amsterdam, which was transformed into an exhibition building. Even though there have previously been many exhibitions about Indonesia in the Netherlands, this exhibition promises to be something special. Various previous exhibitions more often focus on certain periods of time or art history in Indonesia. This exhibition focuses on a bigger story and also shows contemporary Indonesia, something that apparently still receives little attention in the Netherlands. This exhibition provides an overview of Indonesia's centuries-long history with its various dynamics, rich culture, and population. Starting from the heyday of the legendary Majapahit Kingdom, Dutch colonial rule versus Indonesian independence and the Second World War, to the revolution and proclamation of the Republic of Indonesia by Sukarno. also about the era of former President Suharto and contemporary Indonesia with its all hopes and challenges. Organized as a polyphonic biography with attention to aspects that have and have not been known to the public, this exhibition displays a variety of perspectives and traumatic experiences. The New Kirk held this exhibition for the wider public who are curious and want to know more about Indonesia. In this major exhibition, the organizers collaborate with a large number of historians, artists, students, museums, eyewitnesses, and experts, both from Indonesia and the Netherlands. More than 300 objects are displayed in this exhibition, starting from ancient archaeological finds, statues, historical documents, and applied arts to photography and films. The objects on display come from dozens of museums and private collections. Not to forget the various contemporary art collections originating from Indonesia, which reflect various current themes such as gender, violence, and climate change. The Indonesian exhibition, which opened on October 21, 2023, will run until April 1, 2024. Hopefully, exhibitions like these will not only be held in the Netherlands, which has a long historical relationship with Indonesia, but also in other countries so that the world has a broader understanding of Indonesia. That was commentary.
Listener, that was the news. I'm Nuka Kusumawati, Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world.
Thank you.
Let's begin today in history on October 23, 1940, when Brazilian footballer Pelé was born. Edson Arantes do Nascimento, better known as Pelé, was born on October 23, 1940. He is a world football legend from Brazil. During his career as a player, Pelé succeeded in bringing Brazil to win the World Cup three times, namely in 1958 in Sweden, in 1962 in Chile, and 1970 in Mexico. Thanks to his success, Brazil was entitled to the Jules Rimet Cup. Pelé earned the nickname of O Rei, or the King. Let's move on to October 23, 1974, when Jamin Ginting, a national hero, died. Lieutenant General Tan E. Jamin Ginting was an Indonesian freedom fighter from Tanah Karo, North Sumatra. He died on October 23, 1974. Jamin Ginting was once appointed as Indonesian ambassador to Canada on November 7, 2014. President Joko Widodo was named a national hero of Indonesia. To commemorate his services, his name was immortalized as the name of the 80 kilometers long road that stretches from Medan City to Karo Regency. We end today in history with an earthquake in the city of Van, Turkey on October 23, 2011. An earthquake measuring 7.2 magnitude rocked Van Province, Turkey. This earthquake occurred on Sunday, October 23, 2011 at 13:41 local time. The shallow earthquake caused severe shaking in most of eastern Turkey. The earthquake killed around 604 people and injured 4,152 others. At least 11,232 buildings were damaged. High-rise buildings in the city of Van and Ertis and traditional houses made of clay in villages in the province were almost all destroyed to the ground.
Habis awan gelap di saat matahari datang telat. Setelah kita berjumpa, kau mengisi celah dan hilangkan rasa sendu yang ada seperti sulap. Magic, biarkan bernafas di atas kanvas, senyummu bagaikan kuas. Lukiskan bahagia sampai hatimu puas. Kita dalam spektrum sinar seusai mendung, yang mengubah murung jadi senang tak terbendung. Senyum-senyum sendiri saat aku berpikir tentang dirimu. Tiap kata bagai mantra ku tersihir. Magic ku hibinium, biarkan ku menemanimu. Merah wajahku saat kita bercanda seru. Jingga warna langit jiwaku tak lagi biru.
Yeah.
listeners, next we present you a program called My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Today's My Indonesia is on Indonesia-Mozambique agree to accelerate preferential trade agreement. Indonesia and Mozambique agreed to accelerate the utilization of the Indonesia-Mozambique preferential trade agreement, and this was reached at the first meeting of the agreement's joint committee on Thursday, October the 19th, on the sidelines of the 38th Trade Expo Indonesia at the Indonesian Convention Exhibition Banten. The Indonesia-Mozambique preferential trade agreement became effective on June 6, 2022, after being signed on August 27, 2019 in Maputo, Mozambique. Director of Bilateral Negotiations at the Indonesian Ministry of Trade, Johnny Marta, said that at the first meeting, Indonesia and Mozambique agreed to increase the implementation of the Indonesia-Mozambique Preferential Trade Agreement. This is achieved by encouraging stakeholders, both government and business actors, to open communication with each other and increase cooperation. According to Johnny Marta, the Indonesia-Mozambique Preferential Trade Agreement is quite important for Indonesia, especially in opening new markets and non-traditional markets. It is Indonesia's first preferential trade agreement with an African country. So, according to him, optimizing this agreement is crucial. He explained that despite the trade balance surplus, the utilization of the agreement was still not optimal. So, he hoped that this meeting could encourage the two countries to jointly overcome the problems and challenges that arise. Meanwhile, Mozambique's ambassador to Indonesia, Belmiro Jose Malate, who was present at the first meeting of the joint committee, agreed that the utilization of the Indonesia-Mozambique preferential trade agreement needed to be maximized. The Mozambican government hopes that the governments of the two countries can share experiences regarding strategies for disseminating trade results, especially for small and medium businesses. Apart from Ambassador Belmiro, the meeting was also attended by Indonesian Ambassador to Mozambique, Harry Sudrajat. The Joint Committee is a biennial forum formed as a mandate in the Indonesia-Mozambique Preferential Trade Agreement. This forum discusses issues of concern to both countries, as well as identifying efforts to improve implementation. Total trade between Indonesia and Mozambique in the January-August 2023 period was recorded at $132 million, an increase of 53.1% from the same period in 2022. During 2018-2022, Indonesia always recorded a trade balance surplus with Mozambique. That was My Indonesia Today.
Everything got so away. There's nothing left today. What happened like you say? An ending like this way.
Berat saat harus berjalan.
Kau what happened like you see, an ending like this way.
Takkan mungkin lagi, tak mungkin lagi memiliki dirimu kini. Takdir memilih kita takkan bersatu. Tapi harus kamu sadari benar, ku merindukan kamu kasih. Tidak pesan detik pun ku menghapusnya.
You're still listening to the English program from Voice of Indonesia. Now we present Indonesian Wonder about tourism and local wisdom of Indonesian people. VOI listener, today's Indonesian Wonder takes you to Lake Lebo Taliwang in West Nusa Tenggara Province, Indonesia. Lake Lebo Taliwang has an area of 1,406 hectares located in Taliwang District, West Sumbawa Regency, West Nusa Tenggara. Lake Lebo is famous for its enchanting natural beauty. The panorama combined with the surrounding mountains adds a charming impression when you are at this lake. The surface of this lake is covered with various types of plants such as water hyacinth, lotus, and other floating plant vegetation. As far as the eye can see, green scenery can be seen around the lake. There are many activities you can do at Lake Lebo, from enjoying the sunrise and sunset, fishing, going around the lake by boat, to culinary tourism around Lake Lebo Taliwang. If you have a hobby of fishing or catching fish, you can bring your fishing equipment to fish in the place designated by the manager. The management of this lake also provides boat or canoe rentals for those who want to enjoy the beauty of this tourist spot from the middle of the lake. Listener, to reach Lake Lebo Taliwang, you can use a private vehicle or rent a vehicle from the city center. The journey from Sumbawa's Poto Tano Harbor to Lake Lebo is 25 kilometers with a travel time of about 40 minutes. Because this tourist spot is managed by the local government, the facilities provided are quite complete, such as parking, toilets, prayer rooms, and gazebos for resting. You also don't need to worry about food and drinks, because around Lebo Taliwang Lake, there are many food stalls selling food and drinks. Well, listener, that's Indonesian Wonder from Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. VOI listeners, next program we have Let's Speak Indonesian, in which we introduce you to some Indonesian vocabulary and expressions, and we invite you to speak Indonesian language. This program is cooperation between Voice of Indonesia and the Language Development Agency of the Indonesian Ministry of Education, Culture, Research, and Technology. This is Voice of Indonesia with Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a program that introduces the Indonesian vocabulary and guides you to speak in the language. Mari Berbahasa Indonesia or Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia is a joint initiative of Voice of Indonesia and the Language Development Agency of the Indonesian Ministry of Education, Culture, Research, and Technology. Today's topic is berwisata di Istana Pagaruyung. Berwisata di Istana Pagaruyung, which means traveling in Pagaruyung Palace. So stay tuned. We're going to present to you a conversation entitled Berbaju Merah, Berbaju Merah, which means wearing red clothes. This conversation happens between Chris George Robinson, a vlogger from Australia, and Sortauli, Chris' vlog community friend at Pagaruyung Palace. Sortauli informs that at Pagaruyung Palace, visitors can rent Minangkabau traditional clothes. Let's listen to the conversation.
Kamu mau coba pakaian adat Minangkabau? Di situ ada tempat sewanya.
Oh, seperti orang-orang yang berbaju merah itu?
Ya, mereka menyewa baju, lalu berfoto dengan latar belakang Istana Pagaruyung.
After listening to the conversation, now I'm going to introduce some vocabulary and expressions related to the topic of the day. I'm going to say each word two times and you can repeat after me. Seperti, seperti, which means like. Orang-orang, orang-orang, which means people. Seperti orang-orang yang berbaju merah itu. Seperti orang-orang yang berbaju merah itu, which means like the people wearing red clothes. Coba, coba, which means try. Pakaian adat, which means traditional clothes. Menyewa, menyewa, which means rent. Berfoto, berfoto, which means take a picture. Latar, latar, which means background. Istana Pagaruyung, Istana Pagaruyung, which means Pagaruyung Palace. In the conversation, you hear the sentence, seperti orang-orang yang berbaju merah itu. Seperti orang-orang yang berbaju merah itu. Which means like the people wearing red clothes. In the question, there is an expression, berbaju merah. Berbaju merah, which means wearing red clothes. The word berbaju, berbaju, has the same meaning as memakai baju, which means wearing clothes. The expression berbaju merah has the same meaning as memakai baju yang berwarna merah, which means wearing red clothes. Let's listen to the other examples of using expressions which mean wearing. Chris berkacamata hitam. Chris berkacamata hitam, which means Chris is wearing sunglasses. Dia bercelana pendek. Dia bercelana pendek, which means he is wearing shorts. There are three types of Minangkabau traditional clothes from West Sumatra province, namely pakaian pengantin, which means bridal wear. Pakaian penghulu, which means clothes for penghulu or Muslim wedding officiant, and clothes for bundokanduang, which means married woman. Bridal wear is for bride and groom, while clothes for penghulu is only for men. Before we end today's Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, let's listen to the conversation once more.
Kamu mau coba pakaian adat Minangkabau? Di situ ada tempat sewanya.
Oh, seperti orang-orang yang berbaju merah itu?
Ya, mereka menyewa baju, lalu berfoto dengan latar belakang Istana Pagaruyung.
Well, listener, that was Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia for today. I'm Rahma, sampai jumpa.
Ragu di matamu, haruskah aku berikrar tuh yang keseribu kali aku cinta padamu.
Still tuned to Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world only on voinews.id, RRI Play Go mobile app, and shortwave frequency 3325 or 4750 kHz. The next segment is Music Corner.
Voice of Indonesia.
VOI listener, in today's music corner, I'm going to present a keroncong song entitled Bengawan Solo by Sundari Sukoco. The song, which was composed by Gesang in 1940, is popularized by many singers. The lyrics of the song are inspired from Bengawan Solo River in Central Java. The song tells about river flow, which is meaningful as a mirror of life. The choice of the lyrics and tone in this song is able to bring the listeners to feel the real situation of the Bengawan Solo River. Well, listener, here is Sundari Sukoco with the song Bengawan Solo. Happy listening!
From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program.
Sekali bisa susah kalah hidup. hidup tak mudah, senyum saja sudah jangan marah. Memang benar hidup cuma sekali, dua tiga kali salah langkah. Kalau ingin menyerah, senyum saja sudah jangan marah.
Of Indonesia.
karena hariku dengan dirimu akan sangat berarti.
I just wanna be with you, you selalu bersamaku. I don't wanna lose you, just wanna be with you. I just wanna be with you, you selalu bersamaku. I don't wanna lose you,
listener, wherever you are, that's our programs on the English program from Voice of Indonesia. If you have any comments, suggestion, criticism, any feedback for Voice of Indonesia, just drop us a line through our Facebook fan page, The Voice of Indonesia, Twitter at VOI Indonesia, Instagram at VOI_official. Don't forget to follow us on TikTok at VOI_official and YouTube channel VOI Official. I'm Rahma signing out. I'll see you in the next interesting edition of the English program from Voice of Indonesia. From Indonesia to the world.